Well, good morning. It's so good to be back in worshiping God and also bringing the Word of God to you. I've been looking forward to this special Sunday. I'm sure you enjoyed the service last Sunday morning as Pastor Crystal brought such a powerful word on the power of hope. And now, as he said, one of the statements really struck me, and that was, he said, prophets come as messengers of hope. And we're not here to just bring you a message, you know, kind of a pep talk, kind of positive thinking kind of thing, although the messages are very positive. But the whole purpose is that we might hear what God wants to say, because the Bible says very clearly that God wants our faith to be in Him in such a real, tangible way that it will not be easily shaken. Remember the prayer of Jesus for Peter is that your faith will not be shaken. So with that in mind, I'd like us to come back to the study on faith again together with you. It's so good to be with you, coming into your homes. I pray that you have invited some of your friends to join us this morning, and I trust that you will be blessed and encouraged and challenged to know that God really wants to get involved in your life. Amen. So I'm going to go to Romans chapter 10. Beginning at verse 14 down to verse 17. Listen to this one. How shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Remember, we come to preach a word that brings their hearts, to lift hearts of people, to bring a challenge, to also make sure that they go through difficult times, knowing that God is with them. Then it goes on to say this, and how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet. Not really so much of how beautiful are the clothing that they wear or the style that they have. Beautiful are the feet. It doesn't matter. As long as we bring good tidings, it says their feet, their feet is beautiful, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now, my text is actually in verse 14. This is what it says. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing the word of God. You know, the funny thing about many believers is very often they hear the word, but they are very slow to respond, very slow to act upon what they have heard. They will say it's a nice word, it's a good word, but very seldom will they act upon it. Unfortunately, when they hear negative reports, almost immediately they will post it, send it to everybody. You know, because they just heard this report and they don't even check whether it's true or not, whether it's fake news. They send it out and then later on they say, oh, sorry, this is fake news. Now, if only we could do that with the Word of God that challenges us, that gives us hope. If we can just send that word out quickly, how many times we have asked you to reach out to your friends, invite them to a service, share the service online. How many of us really do it? But when we receive negative news, I mean, almost immediately that word goes out. God forbid that it happens here, you know. And sometimes we are so quick to believe the negative news. I remember about reading the story about this lady who was having some guests with her, and she had these two couples come for dinner. So she wanted to prepare a special dish. And then she remembered that the maid had got some mushrooms from her countryside. And the maid said, you know, these mushrooms are really good. So she said, you know, I don't really know whether it's good or not. So guess what? I'm going to try it out. She cooked it and then gave some to the dog, right, to see what reaction the dog would have. Well, eventually, nothing happened. The dog was running around. Everything was wonderful. So they went and they had the meal. The people said, oh, the mushrooms were so good, tasted so lovely. And they all enjoyed the meal. Then they went to the hall and sat down and had a chat. And suddenly the maid rushes in and she goes up to the lady and she whispers in her ear and says, ma'am, the dog just died. And immediately the lady got her friends and said, let's get to the hospital quickly. They rushed to the hospital, had their tummies emptied, you know, and then they all came back exhausted and she was apologizing. And the maid came and said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry. I didn't get the number of the car that ran over the dog." And we don't wait to hear the whole thing sometimes. We hear quickly and we respond. But oh, this morning I'd like to just share with you and encourage you from the Word of God that hearing is so important, that the last word Jesus spoke to all the seven churches in the book of Revelation is, "Let him who has an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying." Let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, over the years, as a pastor, I've been preaching now for what, close to 40 over years. And I've encountered all kinds of hearers in the church. And I'd like to mention just a few of them, all right? But basically four. Let me just mention these four kind of hearers that I have seen over the years. The first kind of hearer is called what I call a short-circuited hearer. This person is the person that has got very little, pays very little attention, an attention deficit kind of a thing. And they hear, but very quickly they forget. It's like coming into a service and then they hear the word, and then after the service is over, they go out and a friend asks them, what's happening? And they say, "Well, we went to church. And, well, did your pastor preach a message? What message did he preach?" I say, "Oh, wait, man, it was very good, very good, very good message." And then they ask them again. It says, "Okay, what kind of a message? What did he say?" I don't really know. I mean, it was a good message, All right, short-circuited preacher. The Bible talks about the sower who goes out and sows, and some of the seed falls, and the birds come and quickly take it away. They come and take it away. You know, I've read a little bit about this, people who suffer from ADD, attention deficiency, all right, syndrome kind of thing, and they are often being described as not focused or lazy. But the reality of it is they are focused but on many things, or they are hyper-focused, they are restless, they are imaginative. In other words, their minds are so occupied with so many things. And sometimes I begin to wonder whether it's the same scenario with people sitting in church. We are listening, but then our minds are also so occupied with so many different things. I might suffer from ADD spiritually, attention deficit. And God help us, all right? But that's the kind of hearer we have within the house of God. The second kind of hearer is what I call a pseudo-hearer. Now, this is the kind of person that seems to pay attention. They are there and they are paying attention, and even taking notes. Some of them have got stacks of notes at home, right? But that's as far as their spirituality goes. That's as far as hearing the word goes, like I said. They listen and listen and listen. I mean, some of us have heard the gospel so many times you turn the world upside down 100 times over, whereas others have never even heard. We want to get new things all of the time. We want to hear new things. We want to hear new things. New message all the time. You know, new message. Is there something we can go deeper? But none of the messages seem to help. They draw close with the mouth, but their hearts are not really in it. So James writes to us in James chapter 1 and verse 22. He says, "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves." If I just hear and not do, then he says, you know, we are just deceiving ourselves. We often do not really hear what is being said. That's why Jesus said to the churches, you know, you've got to hear what the Spirit is saying. He who has ears to hear. Amen. Story told about Franklin Roosevelt and how he got tired of just smiling and big smiles, saying the usual thing, shaking hands with the people. And every time when they came by, you know, they would all come and shake his hands. And he was just a little bit tired. And so he decided to try out a little experiment. So with a few people, you know, he would still smile and shake their hands. And then he would say, you know, "Today I killed my grandmother." And some of them would reach to him and say, "Oh, you've done a great job. That is really good, Mr. President, you know." And he said one person came up to him. I mean, he said this to several people, but they were not really listening. They were looking at his smile and shaking his hand. They were not really hearing what he was saying. Then this gentleman came up and shook his hand, this old man, and he said to him, "You know, today I killed my grandmother." And the man said, "Well, she really must have deserved it." Okay, at least somebody was hearing the message that he was bringing across. So we hear without really hearing. Come on, I'm sure all the wives who are listening can tell you that this is true. Especially when you're telling the husband something, the guy is there, but he's not there. You know, it's like, yeah, I heard. That's why, you know, guys go to the supermarket to buy the stuff that their wives tell them to buy, and then they call back and said, what is it you really wanted, okay? Because not just old age, it's just that we have not really heard. We are pseudo-hearers. And of course, you know, the third kind of hearer is the one that I want to warn us about. This hearer is what I call a selective hearer. This hearer, individuals, this kind of hearer, they are individuals who love to hear what they love to hear. You know, messages like God is for you and God wants to bless you and God wants to enrich you. He wants to prosper you in every area. These are the kind of messages we love to hear. We don't want to hear anything negative. We don't want to hear anything that brings warning kind of thing. We pick and choose different messages. In 1 Kings chapter 22, there is a king, his name is Jehoshaphat, and they are about to face a tremendous battle. So he goes over, he's the king of Judah, and he goes over to the king of Israel, and together he sits with him and he says, listen, before we go out to battle, can we inquire of the Lord? Do you have anybody, any prophets that we could inquire of? And of course, the king of Israel says, yes, we have quite a number of them. He calls them all in, and they all prophesy, and they prophesy good things, and God is with you kind of stuff, you know. We are God's people. We will be victorious. On and on and on they go. And Jehoshaphat is not really comfortable. Now, if you know Jehoshaphat, he's the guy who prayed, you know, and said, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall prosper, believe in his servants, you shall have tremendous success. He's the guy who said that. Now, he's not really satisfied with this message. And he wants to really hear from God. He doesn't want just to be selective and, oh, this is good. God has given us a good word, man. We should all go out. He wants to know for sure. And so he says to the king of Israel, he says, listen, is there anybody else, any other prophet? Listen to what the king says in 1 Kings 22 and verse 8. The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, and he said, there is still one man through whom we can seek the Lord's will. In other words, if we ask this man, he knows what the will of God is. Okay? One more person. But I despise him because he does not prophesy prosperity for me. Isn't that something? There is one man, but I despise him because he does not prophesy prosperity for me, but disaster. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah, or Michael, the son of Imlah. I don't like him because the message that he brings is not the kind of message I like to hear. 2 Timothy tells us that there is a time coming, Paul writes to Timothy. In fact, I think that time is even now. And this is what he says, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. And that's the sad part about it. It seems like myths get the highlight, all the books on all these wonderful things that people see. I mean, subjective truth becomes normative for people. In other words, if you question them, then you are wrong because this is what they saw. This is what they did. And so people begin to seek after these things because they saw it. I also must see the same thing. No. Pay attention to the Word of God. Let me give you some examples of selective hearing, all right? God will always pardon you because he's a God of abundant compassion. Amen. That's the truth. That's the Word of God. But you must read it in its context. This is what it says, Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked abandon his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So that's the context. How about this one? God's blessings will come upon you and overtake you. He will make you the head and not the tail. Amen. I pray that over every person. And it's a good blessing to have God, you know, and a good confession to have. God said He will bless me. Read it in its context. The context is in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and verse 2. This is what it says. If you will fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord. I will make you the head and not the tail. You will be a lender and not a borrower. But it comes within that context of if you will fully obey. Now, nobody likes us to preach a message on obedience. We want a message on just the blessing. Listen to another one here. God will bless you in the time of famine like Isaac, and you will prosper. Amen. I want to see God bless all our people in the time of this MCO. We're like a famine in the land. I want to see God bless us tremendously. But the context in Genesis 28, there is a famine in the land. Verse 1 tells us that. But it says, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper. Listen to this one. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Three prosperous there, but it begins with the man sowed. So when we talk about sowing, people don't like that part. They just want, in the land of famine, I'm going to get a blessing. God's going to bless me. Church, listen. We cannot be selective hearers. Listen to just a portion of it and then discard the earlier portion. Almost every blessing of God comes with a condition, and we need to understand that condition. Now, the fourth kind of hearer is the one that pastors dream to have in the church. I call them the Samuel hearers. That's right, taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3. There's this young guy by the name of Samuel. Now, what I like about him is he hears the message, he hears God speaking, and he wakes up. Now, he's a young guy. Thing I like about him is it says he's sleeping, but he's sleeping not just in their usual quarters. He's sleeping where the Ark of the Covenant is. And he's lying there. His heart is awake. He's open because he's a small boy, but still, at the same time, his heart is open to God. I want to lie here. Who knows? Now, it says at the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 3 that the word of the Lord was very rare. It didn't really come. Eli himself did not know the word of the Lord. Okay, he was a bad, bad priest who had bad sons. But there was no, the word of the Lord was rare. God was not kind of speaking because Israel had departed from him. So now, here is young boy Samuel. He's lying there and he hears this message, Samuel, Samuel, a call to him. And he jumps up. Wanting to respond to this message, he runs towards Eli and says, did you call me? Pastor Eli says, no, 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 no. What's that message for me? Did you preach to me, Pastor Eli? No, 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 I did not. No, just go back and sleep. So he goes back second time, third time. He hears the same thing. Three times he runs to his pastor and says, did you speak to me? Pastor eventually says, go and say, here I am, Lord. Speak to me, your servant is listening. That's the kind of hero we need to have. Not just say, Pastor, was that message for me kind of thing. You got to say, God, speak to me. You know, when I first became a believer, I got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, almost the same day called into the ministry. I used to walk to church from the place where we stayed. We used to walk all the way to church. I would be searching myself and saying, God, please, I'm coming there. I want to hear the word. This is the Samuel kind of hearer. The Samuel kind of hearer says, I'm going to church. I can't wait to get into church because I know God is going to speak. If He has spoken, then I know He's going to speak to me. Here am I, Lord. Speak to me. And guess what? Almost every service I would go, before the service even began, when the music starts to play, the presence of God would envelop me. He would do something deep in my life before I even hear the word of God. And if we want to be enriched by God's word, listen, church, we've got to be this kind of a person. Few things let me leave with you concerning Samuel. First of all, be attentive, all right? Be attentive. Pay attention. If we want the word of God to enrich our spirit, we must listen attentively. Now, I don't know about you, but when I am sitting with a person and I'm talking to them and they get up their handphone and start looking into their handphone, I almost immediately stop the conversation. It's no point me carrying on talking to someone who's not really listening. They're too occupied with the phone. Come on, I don't know about you. Maybe you can just carry on talking even if the person is not listening. But to me, I want the person to pay attention. All right? And I'm sure when we, you know, when the person is talking to me, the person will require the same thing, that I pay attention. With children, we tell them, when the teacher is talking nowadays on the screen, we say, pay attention. Don't get distracted. So easily distracted by so many things. ADD, spiritually, huh? We get so distracted by other things. So here it is, pay attention. This is what Jesus said. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Let me read to you the Passion Translation. Then he said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. Listen attentively so you can understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you, and according to your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. Isn't that a fantastic word? If I just paid attention, much more will be added to her. The second thing is, not only be attentive, but be receptive. Be receptive. Now, the word of the Lord that came to Samuel was not a good word. It was a bad things that were going to happen to Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was going to be taken away from them. Their most holy object was going to be taken. Eli and his sons were going to be killed. This message was given to a young boy. Now, he could have easily said, no, you know, this is definitely not for me. Give it to another person. But there was nobody available. And so he received this word. As Eli came to him and said, tell us, what did the Lord say? Tell me, what did the Lord say? And he didn't want to say anything. And he says, man, if you don't tell me, then may the disasters or whatever you have heard happen to you. Because he knew that it was a hard word. Tell me the word, even if it is hard. Pastor, tell me the word. Samuel became the first prophet of Israel at that time. He was called a seer. Could see things, could hear things from God because he was obedient to the vision. God gave him a message to give. It was difficult for him. I'm sure it was very difficult being brought up by Eli and now telling Eli, whatever you are guarding, the Ark of the Covenant, that's going to go. Your sons are going to be killed. Hard message to give. But oh, Samuel, give me the message. Pastor, give me the word, even if it is tough. Let me listen to it. We must be receptive. One of the most famous sayings of Mary, when she came to the servants at the wedding of Cana, she came to them, and then when Jesus, you know, said, what have I got to do with you? She says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, the reason she could say this is because she came out of an experience that really baffles the whole world. As a young teenager, the angel of the Lord comes to her with a very difficult message. Now, you remember, this is a teenager, and says to her, you're going to have a baby, although you're not married. You'll have to explain it to your parents. You'll have to explain it to people. I mean, how are people, you're going to have to explain it to even Joseph, the one you're going to get married to. Very difficult message. And this is what she said. Yes, I am the servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me according to your word. Is that a difficult message enough? Be receptive, even if the message is hard for you to take. We must learn to receive it. Listen to me very carefully, please. God has given us certain protectors. Parents protect you. They want the very best for you. You go to school, your teachers protect you. They want you to have the very best. Later on, you have police to help you. You have different institutions to help us. All of them want to help us. We've got to listen to older people. Paul writes to the older women in the church, and he says, you older women, please teach the younger women. And younger women have to learn from the older women, just like younger men have to learn from the older men. We must learn, even if they tell us things that are difficult for us. You know, somebody once said, we've got two ears and one mouth, which means speak less, listen more. Listen more. That's why God says, hear, hear, hear. All right. So the third thing that I want to leave with you is this. Not only be attentive, be receptive, but also we must be productive. We've got to be productive. One of the famous stories is from the Samaritan woman. She gets a message from Jesus. Her life is transformed. She goes back to her village. She tells everybody, and this is what it says. John 4, 39 through 42. Many from the Samaritan village became believers in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. How important it is for us to share our testimonies. How important. She shared her testimony. He told me everything that I did. And so many began to believe in Jesus because of her testimony. And then they begged Jesus to stay with them. Now, these are Samaritans. I'm sure you know, I've heard the difference between Samaritans and Jews, how they hate one another. But they were begging this Jewish rabbi to stay with them. So he stayed with them for 2 days. That wonderful when we ask Jesus to stay with us, he wants to stay. Even if it is against the culture or whatever it was, Jesus said, yes, yes, I will stay. I will stay. Funny how he came to Zacchaeus' home and he says, Zacchaeus, I want to stay in your house. That's something. And he wants to stay in our homes too. So he stayed there for 2 days, resulting in many more coming to faith in him because of his message. The Samaritan said to the woman, now we've heard him ourselves. We no longer believe just because of what you told us, but we are convinced that he really is the true Savior of the world. You know, knowledge does not produce miracles. Reading a book on bodybuilding will not build my body. Doing all the exercises, you know, they show you how to do it. That does not help us unless we get into the gym and start to build it ourselves. You realize that Jesus said, make disciples, not be disciples. And this is one of the major areas where the church has failed. They said almost 95% of believers have never led one person to Jesus Christ in their entire Christian life. That speaks volumes. Not one person in their entire Christian lives, not one person in their entire Christian life have they led to the Lord, which is a real crying shame. And we need to understand that the reason why God saved us is because he believed that when he blessed us with his Son and salvation, that we would become a blessing to other people. Not just blessed in finances that we might give, but blessed by the Son, the greatest gift, so that we might also give of him to the world. You know, once you lead someone to Jesus, it just increases your faith so many fold. The greatest joy is leading someone to Christ. One of my greatest joys is having one of the pastors coming up to me and saying, Pastor David, you remember you preached this, and then I got saved. I remember I was preaching in a church in Penang. And as I was preaching, and after I had finished preaching, this man came up with his wife, and he said, Pastor David, I don't know whether you remember or not, you were a young pastor in Port Klang, Panamaran, and you were preaching. And then as you preached, I came to the Lord. And he is one of our members' father. And he recommended the son to come to our church. Son is serving faithfully in our church as well. So praise God. Once you lead someone to Jesus, your faith increases manifold. So I pray to God that you would begin to shift from being just, you know, a pseudo hearer or a selective hearer, you know, or a short-circuited hearer, to being a Samuel kind of a hearer. You would become attentive. You would become, you know, a receptive of the Word, and then it would produce something inside of your heart that would cause you to become a blessing rather than just receive a blessing. You would now become a blessing. I pray that the Word of the Lord has encouraged your heart. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and may the Lord speak clearly to you. Touch my ears, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, right now I bring all our people, those within reach of this message, those who are hearing this word, different homes where they are gathering together by themselves, wherever they may be, and even through the week as they begin to tune in to our YouTube program and listen to this, I pray that faith will rise in their hearts, that you will touch their ears to hear what you are saying. Pastor, did you speak to me? I don't know. But you go back and begin to say, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. I don't know whether this message is for you or not, but ask the Lord, Lord, is it really you? Father, I pray that you would begin to minister to each one, that their hearts would be overwhelmed by your presence. Because God, you love us so much. You didn't just love us and give us Jesus to just leave us alone. You want to speak to us and let faith and hope and love arise in our hearts. The greatest of these things is love. But let it rise within our spirits, even this morning. I thank you, Lord, for each person that's listening in. Bless them, I pray. And now I ask that you lift up your hands as we begin to bless the Lord. Father, I just ask right now that you would so bless your people and keep them, that you would cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious unto them. Oh God, that you would grant them peace in all their homes. And may the amazing grace of the Master, the extravagant love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the intimate friendship, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.